I'm Cindy Chikunga. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police. We are meeting today so that the state law advisors can brief us on the forensic, in fact, the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill. This bill was referred to the Portfolio Committee on Police and for conferral with the Justice Portfolio Committee on the 2nd of September 2009. On the 6th of October 2009, the Parliamentary Research Unit briefed the committee on the background and analysis of the bill. On the 7th of October 2009, the Department of Police briefed the Portfolio Committee on the aims, objectives, and to a very limited degree, the Department's implementation plan. During these briefing sessions, the following issues in the bill were clearly pointed out. First, huge challenges that may lead to the violation of the constitutional rights of individuals, such as right to privacy, right to presumed innocence, right of children, right of equality, human dignity, bodily integrity. Concerns regarding the retention of samples and profiles in a DNA database for persons that are not convicted by a court were also raised. Length of time over which the DNA database should be kept by subs for persons that are convicted by a court were also raised. Unavailability of the implementation plan and financial or cost implications by the department also was an issue. I think it is an issue. The Portfolio Committee on Police acknowledges the fact that this piece of legislation is of great importance and will go a long way towards addressing some of the problems in the criminal justice system, and indeed will strengthen the staff's crime-fighting ability. To this end, the Portfolio Committee on Police then resolved on the 22nd of October 2009 to process the bill in two phases, that is, to split the bill as follows. Phase one will deal with body prints and fingerprints as well. And the phase two will deal with the DNA. We believe that this is going to give us time as a portfolio committee. First, it will be possible for the portfolio committee to process the first phase or first part of the bill and probably finish it by the 23rd of this month, if it is possible, I mean of November. But also the second phase of the bill, which of course, like I've indicated, consists of DNA in particular, we think that it will be referred back to the department for redrafting and retabling. Whilst that is happening, the portfolio committee will embark on a process wherein it will conduct a comparative study through the research unit that will enable benchmarking our country with other countries that have the same legislation as well as the Bill of Rights. It will also have an opportunity to undertake international tours to countries that have this legislation as well as the Bill of Rights. We therefore think that the second phase of this bill will then be processed during 2010. Following these processes. I want to emphasize again the fact that we understand and we acknowledge the importance of this bill as it stands, probably including both DNA and fingerprints, but we wouldn't want as a portfolio committee to pass a legislation that immediately will be challenged in the Constitutional Court. We think that we need to have more than enough time to process this section of the bill so that when it is passed, we are sure that it will be in the interest of the country, but also in the interest of all of us who shall have participated in the processing of that bill. It is in this spirit that we today have the state law advisors who are going to brief us on this split bill, which of course is about the body prints as well as fingerprints. I will therefore now hand over to the state law advisors. But let me also mention the fact that we did extend invitation to the Portfolio Committee on Justice. We are of the view that, in fact, they know that these meetings are sitting. We will still talk to them, encouraging them, in fact, urging them to send people so that they are part of us. But we did invite them, we did speak to them. They are of the view that we can proceed because they have other bills that they are busy with. But it was referred to us for conference with them as well. But they are aware of this process. Let me now hand over to the state law advisor to take us through the split bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank the Chairperson and honourable members and interested parties for the opportunity to make the presentation. We had discussions regarding the draft bill and the amendments to the bill, and as a result of the discussions, we have taken out, as the Chairperson has indicated in her presentation, issues relating to the DNA, the retention of DNA, and databases regarding DNA in the bill. What is retained in the bill is currently the fingerprints, body prints, and footprints, and photographic images, and then also the interaction regarding all of the databases that currently operate regarding those particular print facilities. What we have done for ease of reference is with yesterday distributed PowerPoint presentations as well as a shaded bill where we indicate the different areas that we've taken out of the bill. And for ease of reference, we've also then have the draft bill, the committee bill as introduced, in a format that you can see in color where we have taken out certain of the areas that is of a particular concern, so that everybody can just see where those issues are being addressed and taken out. I will now hand over to Sue Hercules for presentation of the draft committee bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Karen will have the slide, the shaded bill on the screen, and I will speak to this slide documentation, which all members should have copies of. It's this particular document. So I'll speak to the slide document, and as we go along, Karen will move around the screen. Now, first of all, what we've done is that we've prepared a redraft of the bill that's been introduced, B2 of 2009, and in order to give effect to phase one in the splitting of the bill, we had to attend to quite a few issues in the bill. And first of all, we removed all references to DNA and the use of DNA evidence and also the analysis process and also the compilation of DNA profiles. So that will no longer be contained in the bill. I will indicate now as to where we've done those changes. And also, very importantly, the establishment of the National DNA Database we've also removed from the current draft because the database actually, the database actually has the function to store and these DNA evidence, and it's no longer part of the redraft. And also very important, the retention of DNA samples, and this includes intimate as well as non-intimate samples, have also been removed from the draft. So it's no longer part of the current framework as introduced. We've retained records relating to fingerprints, which will now be located at the Division Criminal Records and Forensic Services. within the police. So all records regarding fingerprints will now be retained. And also, as Karen indicated, there will also be the redraft will provide for access to all other national databases, including on provincial and also local level. This includes Department of Transport and Home Affairs as well. Another change that we've introduced in the amendment is that not only intimate but also non-intimate samples will now also only be taken by a registered medical practitioner or a registered nurse as provided for in Section 37(1) C and 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act. So we've extended that provision to include the taking of non-intimate samples. And then also to provide for consequential amendments to the Firearms Control Act and the Explosives Act, as indicated in the draft. I will now look at proposed amendments, which we've proposed, and Carter indicated that the shaded parts in your document with the draft, the redraft, will speak to the changes which we've made on the redraft. Now, first of all, at the moment at the screen we have the long title of the bill, and as you can see we've deleted the reference to the taking of specified bodily substances from certain categories of persons for the purposes of DNA analysis. So that will no longer be possible in terms of the redraft which we've prepared, and also we remove the establishment and the functioning, the administration and maintenance of the National DNA Database of South Africa. So we will no longer, the bill will no longer provide for the NDDSA. Now, if you move on to Clause 2, currently Clause 2 provides for the insertion of a definition clause into Chapter 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act with reference to DNA terminology. So it's a chapter which will speak to the interpretation of certain terms in the Criminal Procedure Act. And it provides also for terminology associated with the National DNA Database, which we've now removed from the bill. Now, we have certain proposals, as indicated on the screen, with regard to the changes necessitated by the phase one approach, which the committee will now adopt. In Section 36A, the interpretation clause, we remove all definitions relating to DNA analysis and DNA profile. So all those references speaking to DNA evidence will now be removed. And also with regard to the National Database of Africa will also now be removed. Section 36(1)(c) and 2 makes reference to child. There's a definition that a child would be a person under the age of 18 years old, and that speaks generally to Chapter 5 with regard to the use of DNA evidence with regard to children. Now, Chapter 5B of the current draft will no longer be contained in the bill. It will be removed as a result of the approach that the committee has taken. So as a result thereof, we've removed the definition with regard to child and all references with regard to children. Furthermore, we've also inserted an amendment to extend the application of Section 37(1)(c) and 2 to Chapter 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act. Section 37(1)(c) and 2 deals with the taking of blood samples, intimate samples, and non-intimate samples by a medical practitioner. We've included in the footnote the current draft as it is in the Criminal Procedure Act, and we've extended Section 37(1)(c) and 2 to include the taking of non-intimate samples by a medical practitioner or a registered nurse. Yeah, a note on that. The footnote, as indicated, they will not be part of the printed bill after we've gone through the bill. It's just for ease of reference that we've inserted the current provision as stands in the Criminal Procedure Act at this stage. Then, furthermore, Section 36B deals with the powers in respect of fingerprints and non-intimate samples of accused and convicted persons. What we've done here, we've ensured the alignment with the requirements referred to in Section 36A2. This is with regard to a medical practitioner. The medical practitioner will also now be taking the intimate samples as well. We removed the reference to Chapter 5B which provides for the establishment of the national DNA database, because that will no longer be required. We removed the retention of non-intimate samples and information derived from such samples, because the bill will only now speak to fingerprints, retention of fingerprints and body prints and photographic images. So the retention of non-intimate samples have been removed. We've retained records relating to fingerprints as contained in Section 36B6A. So that has been retained. We've also removed the retention of non-intimate samples and the use of thereof, and as well as the information derived from such samples. The reason why we've removed the non-intimate samples, the retention of non-intimate samples, is that non-intimate samples, as stand now in the current draft, DNA information can be derived from non-intimate samples as well. So we have removed, as a result thereof, we've removed the definition and all the retention thereof. Section 36C deals with body prints and samples for investigation purposes. Once again, we ensure the alignment with the requirement of 36A2, the medical practitioner requirement for the taking of intimate and non-intimate samples. We removed non-intimate sample references and the information derived from such samples, and we've retained fingerprints and body prints as reflected in Section 36C, 3A, and B. Then, very important, we've removed the storage of non-intimate samples and information derived from such samples and all references to the National DNA Database as referred to in Section 36C, 3D. Then, subsection 4, which originally dealt with the retention of bodily samples, and we've intimate samples and in the information thereof, we've only retained fingerprints and body prints in terms of the new draft. As we move over to clause 3 of the bill, currently provides for consequential amendments with regard to 36B, and also it speaks to retention of fingerprints, body prints, photographic images, intimate and non-intimate samples, and information from such samples. Then it also provides for speculative searches for prints and intimate and non-intimate samples. With regard to the proposals, Section 37, we've extended the prohibition on the examination of the body of a person to non-intimate samples as well. That's a medical requirement. And also we've provided for the non-intimate samples to be taken by a registered medical practitioner or a registered nurse if requested by a police official in terms of Section 37.2. We've removed the retention of intimate and non-intimate samples or information derived therefrom, and retained prints only. We've only retained fingerprints as indicated in Section 37.6A in terms of the draft that we have before us. We have removed the storage of non-intimate samples and information derived therefrom, and all references to the National DNA Database in terms of Chapter 5B, which we have removed from the bill since it speaks to the storage and the establishment of the database and the use of that evidence. We have removed subsection 8, which deals now with the, which retain fingerprints and body prints and photographic images only. Okay, so only the fingerprints and the body prints will be retained. Intimate samples and non-intimate samples have been removed from the draft. Clause 4, we've retained clause 4 in its current form. It deals with section 212 of the Criminal Procedure Act. We've retained that it deals with the proof of certain facts by affidavit or certificate. So whoever is responsible to take provide that evidence, they'll have to file an affidavit with regard to proof thereof. So we've retained, we haven't made any changes to clause 5. The same with clause 5. With regard to Section 225 of the Criminal Procedure Act, we retain the current position except for the removal of DNA analysis, because we no longer have the DNA analysis in terms of the current draft before us. As we move over to Clause 6, Clause 6 deals with the South African Police Service Act. It deals with the insertion of Chapters 5A and 5B. 5A, Chapter 5A of the SAPS Act deals with the storage and use of fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images. We've retained Chapter 5A to give effect to Phase 1 approach as indicated by the chairperson. The insertion provides for, it also provides for Chapter 5B, which deals with the establishment, administration, and maintenance of the use of the national DNA database. Now, our proposals in respect of these two chapters, first of all, Chapter 5, we've retained the current position because it speaks to the storage and use of prints, fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images. The only thing that we've done there was to remove the reference to Chapter 5B, which deals with the national DNA database, storage and collection of DNA evidence. We've removed the reference in respect of Chapter 5B. And with regard to Chapter 5B, we propose that we remove the entire chapter that's dealing with Sections 15D to 15S as provided for in the draft, in the shaded part, because it speaks to the DNA and the use of DNA evidence and the maintenance of the database and speculative searches with regard to intimate and non-intimate samples. That has all been removed and is all dealt with under Chapter 5B of the bill. Clause 7 of the bill currently provides for consequential amendments. Let me just get to Clause 7. Okay. Clause 7 deals with the consequential amendments to Section 1 of the Firearms Act, dealing with the taking of intimate samples and non-intimate samples, and also with regard to fingerprints. First of all, our proposals with regard to the amendment proposed to the Firearms Act is to removal references to the DNA database, as well as DNA analysis, and also the national DNA database. We've extended, like in the Criminal Procedure Act, the definition of intimate samples to include pubic hair with regard to the category of the type of sample it would be categorized as. So we've included pubic hair to intimate samples. We've limited the speculative search to fingerprint and body prints only. So a speculative search with regard to other databases will only be restricted to body fingerprint and body prints, and they'll only be tested or checked against the databases as provided for under Chapter 5A of the bill. Clause 8 currently deals with consequential amendments to Section 113 of the Firearms Act, and basically to align the powers of the police to take prints and samples with the new provisions as proposed in the Criminal Procedure Act. Our proposal would be that we provide for non-intimate samples to be taken by a registered practitioner or registered nurse. Basically, it's aligned with the proposal with Section 37(1) and 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act, so it's extended that protection. And also, we've removed the retention of intimate and or non-intimate samples or information, and we've retained prints only. So once again, we've aligned the amendments with the Criminal Procedure Act amendments. We've also removed the storage of non-intimate samples and the information derived therefrom, and all references to the national DNA database, which is contained in Chapter 5B, which we have removed from the bill. And also, we've removed Subsection 6, which speaks to the retention of intimate and non-intimate samples as well, which only retains fingerprints, body prints, for the purposes of Phase 1. Clause 9 speaks to the consequential amendments to the Explosives Act, like the Firearms Act. It's basically more or less the same proposal amendment. It's to align the powers of the police to take certain prints and samples. And our proposal will be the same as with the Firearms Act, to remove all references to DNA, DNA analysis, DNA profile, and also the national DNA database. We've extended intimate samples to include pubic hair as well, because DNA information can be derived from that particular sample as such samples as well. We've limited the speculative searches to fingerprints and body prints only, so no speculative searches will be conducted in respect of non-intimate samples and intimate samples. Clause 10 speaks to Section 9 of the Explosives Act, also to align powers of the police as in the Firearms Control Act, and to provide for non-intimate samples to be taken by a registered medical practitioner as well, or registered nurse, as the case may be. We've removed the tension of non-intimate and intimate samples and retained prints only, as indicated in Section 9.5a. And the storage of non-intimate samples have also been removed, as well as all references to the National DNA Database in terms of Chapter 5b. Then we've removed the reference to the retention of intimate and non-intimate samples, and we've only retained prints, being fingerprints and body prints, for the purposes of this instruction. So basically, Chairperson and members, honourable members, what we've done is, as I've indicated, it's basically proposed amendments to give effect to phase one approach to make provision for the retention of fingerprints evidence or body prints evidence and photographic images and prints, and also to provide access to other national DNA databases regarding these prints, which will exclude non-intimate and intimate samples, so that will no longer be retained, but will no longer speak to that particular part as indicated in the previous bill as introduced. Thank you, Chairperson. If there are any questions, we're able to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Members, please, the amendments, in fact, yes, amendments that have been effected in the bill. If members have questions, let us take questions now. Honorable Reverend Mishu, Honorable Chafer, Honorable Okola Barnett.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with the title of the Act. If all references to DNA analysis, DNA profile are removed, the word forensic is still relevant. What's the relevance of the word forensic, the title? And then the second question, in providing for the taking of intimate and non-intimate samples by a registered medical practitioner or registered nurse, what happens when the person refuses to cooperate? Is a measure of coercion be allowed when the person does not cooperate in providing the samples? Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just want to know, I didn't quite get the issue about the child, why the removal of the word the child from the Act. If you can just recap on that, please. Thank you, Chair. I want to just put on record, I've been pushing for this for many years, but I want to make sure this is airtight. So I've got a lot of questions that I need answers. I know in looking through the large document over the weeks that was drawn up and our researchers did as well, we spoke about the possibility of human error. For example, fingerprints misnamed, put under someone else's name, so now they lift the fingerprints and Cindy Chikunga is now accused of having been at a crime scene somewhere else. I don't see anywhere in this bill anything about storage or the need to be, and I don't believe that it's possible to create a 100% secure environment for a fingerprint database, which means that there's always the possibility that someone will go and plant a fingerprint somewhere else. So I need to know, number one, where are the references to security in that? If we don't make references to that, where is our protection of the citizenry of the country? Number two, what are we looking at court-wise? And I presume the justice, all right, the lawyers in the room.
I want to protect you, because
please do.
I think you. That.
Okay.
Then we just allow you to speak.
Yeah. So the if we could have advice here from the legal brains in the room, as to if you then go to court and they say we found your fingerprints, and you say, but I was never there, what recourse do you have? What safeguards are we assured of that we know exactly who had access to those fingerprints at what time, that only the very top structure allowed, the sort of thing that would be essential? I don't know what international best practice is in this regard. The bill does not differentiate between serious and minor offences. So even if someone is picked up for jaywalking, they must now go back and be fingerprinted. This must then go to a database. We're going to swamp our forensics laboratories, which I believe are already swamped. So should there not be a differentiation there between categories of so-called crimes? Would the fingerprints be given priority over other evidence during a trial? Fingerprints of minors. Now, you must remember at Home Affairs, if you take your child overseas, I'm presuming they're fingerprinted to get their travel document. That then would become part of this database. Now, I don't know that it's constitutional to have under 18-year-olds part of the database. Certainly, it's against the UN Convention and our Child Justice Act 75. So I'd like an explanation there. I'm looking actually at the creation of the Home Affairs database. I have it somewhere in the dark recesses of my mind that when this was created, there were specific stipulations that said they may not share that database with other ministries or other people. Have our legal people found a way to get around this, or how is this? They have. Okay, they're nodding. And finally, the use of force. Now, you have a fingerprint and you need to, or they're speaking about other things, the body prints and photographs. If you have to force someone to give a body print, it's not admissible in court. Or if you have to force the fingerprint, what is the situation? It's not detailed in here as to how they get that.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but just on a point of clarity, the questions the Honourable Kwela Barnas is now asking is quite detailed, which I appreciate. But I thought, I just want to get clarity on the purpose of this meeting, because the purpose of this meeting was for the state law advisors to give us an indication on whether they've been able to do what we've asked them to do, that is to split the bill. The question she's asking is not actually questions that should be directed to them, but should be directed to SAPS and the legal teams, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just clarifying, because otherwise, I mean, then if it's open for detailed discussions, then we must start doing so.
Can you finish? The purpose of the meeting is for the state law advisors to tell us that they've splitted the bill and how have they done it, so that we can take the processes forward. After this very meeting, I allowed the member to ask the questions because I thought some maybe could be answered, but others, of course, they will definitely need another meeting for them to be responded to. The next one is... Okay, those were the questions that the hands that we had. I don't know whether there's another hand. I just want some clarity with regards to the issues surrounding non-intimate samples. Because in the main, they have more to do with the DNA. Exactly how they come in the fingerprints, PC, and what have you done about them? I think I just want to be clear on that one. And probably the fact that you are recommending that pubic hair should go to intimate samples, which I think I agree with it. But probably the fact that a sample of hair, some people have hair right around their body, and we are specifying those in your presentation, that they must mean a sample of hair other than pubic hair. So the rest of others, including axillary hair and so on, will be non-intimate samples. I just needed to get clarity. Is this what you are saying, actually? Okay. No. And actually, you are saying non-intimate samples, because in this bill, it was that it is the police that can take non-intimate samples. You are recommending that even non-intimate samples should be taken by a medical doctor and a nurse, is what you are saying. I just want to be clear on that one.
Listen, due to the invasiveness of the intimate samples, we've included pubic hair under the intimate sampling aspect. That's purely because it's so invasive on the person's dignity. So we thought that that's something that was lacking in the bill, and that's why we've included that. Regarding the fact that the non-intimate samples may contain DNA information, that is why we made it subject to Section 37(1)(c) and 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act, that would provide that where it relates to DNA and the possibility of DNA information to be derived from that, that it must be taken from a biomedical practitioner. And that's for that purposes that we have made it subject to 37(1)(c) and 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act.
Thank you, Chairperson. The title of the bill, it's in the hands of the committee. At the moment, it's a committee bill, and the committee may decide which way the committee wants to go with the title of the bill. But with regard to forensics, Chapter 5A as proposed to be inserted in the South African Police Service Act, speaks to the information being stored, maintained, and administered, and being readily available, whether in computerized or other form, and shall be located within the Division of the Criminal Record and Forensic Science Service. So in view of where the information will be detained, it speaks to forensics and forensic evidence as such. So that could be a considering factor when the committee decide whether to retain the title of the bill as it is at the moment, or whether to move or to change it to another title. But that could be one of the considerations, because it is indeed forensic evidence. But maybe the department can also speak to that as to the relevance of the title as it is at the moment. The other matters, as raised, relate basically to the sharing of the database. And as indicated in the current draft, there has been consultations with the Department of Home Affairs before the bill was introduced, and transport with regard to the sharing of databases, with regard to the implementation thereof and the use and the practical operations. Once again, I believe the Department of Police will probably have to speak to that as well. But there have been consultations before the bill was introduced that there will be sharing the information contained in the various databases available and access thereto. That includes other national DNAs. Other national databases as well, with regard to fingerprints and other body prints as well. Yeah, the bill basically provides the framework for the sharing of the databases, other databases as well. How it's going to work in practice will depend on the department as to how they will cooperate. But the bill itself, which will end up as legislation, will have the legislative framework for that cooperation and the sharing of information on various databases.
My other question was answered about the taking of intimate and non-intimate samples by medical. Where that operation will be used if there's no solution.
Regarding the question regarding the child and the taking out of the child, is because we no longer make reference to children in the bill, and if we don't make reference to a particular definition, we can take it out because the bill doesn't speak to it anymore. So that is why a child was removed, and the Child Justice Act also speaks to that particular aspect. So there are legislation dealing with that particular legislation or a question that was raised by the member. And then also regarding the issue with refusal and so on, that's currently already provided for in the CPA Act, in the Criminal Procedure Act, and the mechanisms and ways in which it must be done. So this bill does not address that. It is currently in the Criminal Procedure Act.
Can you just clarify for me? So children are left out. Does this mean that the fingerprints of under 18-year-olds must be removed from the database? I'm not sure how it works.
That will be introduced. It will be something that will be discussed by the various departments. I can't, unfortunately, answer that question. But currently, as is, the children's fingerprints are available on the system. But again, these must be only for criminal investigation purposes. You can't just take a child's fingerprint for any purposes other than for if you have criminal procedures. But the bill specifically is taking care of that particular aspect by removing child for the time being.
Yeah, I think I wanted to say that to say let's not forget that this is a criminal law amendment bill. Whether you want to add that, let's not forget it is dealing with criminal methods, you know, and so on. Accessing those fingerprints for criminal reasons. Not the police will definitely not have mine if I've not committed crime. It is only when I decide to assault the Honorable George. That the chances are that I will then, you know, have my fingers taken. I think let's lose the sight of this. I just want to say that to explain members that after this we are going to have the Department of Home Affairs, Transport and SAPS appearing before the Portfolio Committee. Now that we know the bill has been split, is it split head or split? We now are going to have a process unfolding with the departments coming to explain some of these issues, the detailed issues. How is it going to happen? How is it affecting them? How are they going to implement it? And so on and so forth. The justice as well. So I just want to mention that. For now, what we know is that the state law advisors have read the bill, and we have it now before us. We can now prepare to engage the departments on the nitty-gritties of this bill. Honorable Judge, I see your hand. I hope you're not responding to my...
No. I know now. I just wanted to check. I thought you would, because I see the people from the department, would probably, especially after the comment, would hear from them, even if I will deal with them later, if they are ready for what is being said now, to what extent. Even if not in details, which will be dealt with later.
It would be in the mercy of the chairperson. Otherwise, it is within our constitutional right as a committee to change or to reject any bill that is put before us. So what we are doing is what is within our constitutional right as a portfolio committee, and the department will have just to do exactly that. All that we'll want to hear from the department is them to come and tell us as to the details of this. But if they, I don't know why should they talk, but if they want to talk, in fact, I don't think they want to talk. The bill has been split, and it ends there. And we will be having a meeting with the department come next week. They will be here. They must be here. What I'm saying is that the Portfolio Committee has decided to speak to them, and we're taking the process forward in that regard. The only thing that can stop this process is if we are unconstitutional in processing the bill, or there are issues that we think if we proceed with the processing of the bill to say they would then be wrong, but otherwise it is within our constitutional right. So I don't think the department can say no on it. But the Secretary wants to talk.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think the Minister is aware of the concerns of the Portfolio Committee, and he would support the decisions that have been taken by the Portfolio Committee from the Minister of Police staff.
Chair, thank you. My name is Dion Dudman. I'm a Deputy DG in the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, and I'm responsible for legislation in the department. Chair, we were not informed about the meeting that was held by the committee last week when the decision was taken that the bill should be split. We heard about it yesterday, and I was asked by my DG whether I knew about this, and I indicated to them that I did not know. I did hear that the committee was considering, I must admit that, was considering, but to split the bill, but we were not there during that meeting when the decision was taken. So I'm not quite sure whether my minister, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, was advised about this. I have been informed that there have been discussions with my minister. I don't know what the outcome of those discussions were. So I would request the committee that I be given an opportunity to advise the minister, as the minister who had introduced the bill originally, of the decision to split the bill and to obtain his instructions as far as that is concerned. And when I say this, Chair, I'm saying it under understanding, as you have indicated, that this committee is part of Parliament and it's the responsibility of Parliament to approve and to deal with legislation. I understand that and I accept that. But I would like an opportunity, and I accept that the committee can continue with its deliberations, an opportunity to advise the minister formally of the decision, which I will do today by way of a memorandum or discussion, and to obtain his advice and his instructions. That's number one. And as you have indicated, the departments will have an opportunity to look at the bill as presented by the state law advisors, and we will also be given an opportunity to make an input on the bill presented by the state law advisors. I heard these state law advisors saying that this is a committee bill. I'm not quite sure whether that is correct. To my mind, this is not a committee bill. As you indicated, Chair, the committee has the power and the authority to change bills and to reject certain clauses and so forth, and then to submit a bill as approved by this committee to Parliament. So I'm not sure that this should be a committee bill, but it will remain a bill introduced by the executive and adapted and changed by the committee. So, Chair, to summarise, I would please just like an opportunity to advise my minister, and as I indicated, I will try to do so today still, if he is available. If not, I will let him have a memorandum. And then we would also like an opportunity to look at the bill as presented by the law advisors and advise you of our views on the content of the bill. Thank you very much.
I think I want to respond. Okay. Okay.
Chelsea,
want to say something?
Yeah, no, Chair, no, I think what we should understand is that the bill is for the government. In your opening statement, from many years ago, but the bill has been referred to the two committees of Parliament, which is Justice and the Police. And therefore, I think the issue of the executive coming in, the department saying, because of justice, I think it must not come in this form in the process that they're going to check. Yeah, I think we need to respect the fact that this bill is before Parliament.
Yeah.
And once the bill is before Parliament, the executive can make a bit of say.
Yeah.
It's a unanimous respect that power of Parliament and allow Parliament to do what it supposed to. What must worry you, it must be the role of your portfolio committee in participation in the portfolio committee. I think that's what must worry you, rather than what is about. The chair is very right. The process is moving and it's moving forward and it's very fast. The more you delay, the more you bring the problem. One of the things that I think we should do, Chair, and I agree with the manner in which you have sort of come up with the way forward of calling the department to come in. That has been my worry for quite a long time, Chair, and I want to support that process. What we need to do will be to look at the parliamentary law advisors at some point, just to engage on this amendment as a committee without really relying very much on the lawsuit advisors. I know the interest to the lawsuit advisors and how, you know, they play their games within Parliament. But I think it will be necessary that these amendments that are made by the lawsuit advisors, we ourselves in detail engage on them. Because these amendments that we are doing, I think they're not just minor amendments, Chair. It's a bigger picture of what we're trying to achieve at the end. What is very critical is the whole issue of security storage of that information, of which Ola Banat was raised, Ola Nabunat was raised in those
issues. I want to catch you another
time. No, but thank you very much. I thought my point is made, but it is not for parliamentary. I think so. We should proceed to the
yeah, no, I think you are correct, Honorable Member. We will take any input on the bill as it stands now, as a split bill. So we take any input from any interested party on the part of the fingerprint and so on. We'll take that input. But that we will want an advice as to whether to resort back to the bill as it was before the resolution. No, we won't take that. We therefore have decided as the portfolio committee to split the bill, and that is our way forward. And any input that talks to this split bill now, and the phase one of the bill will take from anybody, including the Department of Justice, we will take that. As to informing the minister and so on, I don't think really we need to grant you a permission. Yeah, it's your prerogative to do this. And I should think at the level of the minister, they also should talk, and we definitely not want to interfere with it in Parliament. So I think I just want to say that, and this process is definitely moving forward, because it's not just a decision that we took willingly as a portfolio committee. It is out of interest in the fight against crime and the processing of these important bills, that at least the Department of Police can access this information whilst we are busy dealing with the other session. And I just want to mention the fact that we're not saying it is valid. We're not going to deal with the other session of DNA, but the issue is the time as to when can we do it. So it is definitely coming. In the meantime, what is happening with DNA as per the Criminal Procedure Act will continue. It will remain in force. It is what the department will use. Those that are using the DNA, police and so on, they will use the provisions of the Criminal Procedure Act in dealing with DNA. So that I think that is what I just wanted to say. So you are free to inform your minister, you are free to make inputs, but surely not to advise us to say, no, you were wrong, no, we're not wrong, we're correct, and it is within our constitutional right as a committee to do it. I think I want to say we are almost done with this. I can actually see members not having questions to ask further. Thank you very much for attending the meeting. I will request members to just remain behind for 2 minutes so that we're talking about our other business. Thank you very much. I'm not going to do that.